Sermons at Westminster Presbyterian Church, an intentionally inclusive community of faith in Worcester, Ohio.
Actually, this week we start a series on readings from the book of James for the next 4 weeks. So today serves as an introduction to this letter, and our reading comes from James 1, verses 17 to 27. If you look at church history, the letter of James has been very controversial with the church reformer Martin Luther calling it a book of straw because it is a book of wisdom and it gives such practical life advice that they thought that this book is not, or this letter is not worth being part of the Bible as we know it. So listen now to these words from James. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creation. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. For me, this group of college students arriving here at the College of Worcester for the first time reminds me of my own days of being a first-year student at the University of Stellenbosch in South Africa in 1991. I still remember the tremendous change that I underwent during that time, but not only the change that I underwent in my life, but the change that we underwent in my country of birth. It was a change as we moved from apartheid to democracy, and we were engaged in a negotiation process where oppressor and oppressed, former enemies, sat down and imagined what a democracy can look like. We, looking at those events, might easily look at those events of change and think that those chains are so much bigger than what we experience now here in Worcester, Ohio, in the United States of America on August 30th, 2015. But be aware, be careful of such thinking. I believe that one of the deceptions of our culture is to make us think that change is only for the heroic people, like Nelson Mandela, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and people like F.W. de Klerk. Or to put it in context of America, only for people like Dr. Martin Luther King. The reality is, as I have experienced it, that this is a deception and could not be farther from the truth. It is actually everyday people like us that brings about chains. Everyday people like us. In those days, I myself did not know what democracy is like. Didn't myself know what it means to vote and to express my faith through a vote. And it seems to me we live in a time in the United States of America where we have forgotten what it means to live in a democracy as we sold out our votes to big money. See, change is difficult. Periods of transition is challenging. Is it leaving home for the first time to attend college? Is it that this is your final year, here at the College of Worcester, and life beyond Worcester is looming on the horizon? Is it family moving? Is it a family facing illness, needing to make change in their living situation? Is it illness, going through several rounds of chemotherapy? Is it working for a social justice issue that is just not becoming a reality as you work for freedom for your own people? In our country, and not only in our personal lives, we're experiencing tremendous cultural shifts. And to me, we've seen that at play this past summer, right here in the United States. In fact, if you would have stayed here in Worcester and followed the Daily Record and the debates regarding marriage equality, you would have seen a cultural war play out right here in Worcester. And this is where I would like for you to turn to one another just for a couple of minutes to just state which to you is the biggest change that we have undergone this summer. It might be your personal life, something personal, or it might be national, or it might be international. Now just remember, the scripture verse for today is be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. This is not so much an exercise in talking as it is an exercise in listening. Remember, you're going to speak once for a couple of seconds, but you're going to listen four or five times to the other people that is sitting with you. So what I want you to do is to turn to one another, state your name, and then just mention the event that you think is the biggest change for you this past summer. To us in our group, one of the big changes was transition in personal life, the ability to take care of yourself, and coming to the College of Worcester as a first-year student.
I moved locations and talked to two first-years, Rebecca and Kayla, and all three of us thought the Marriage Equality Act was the biggest thing over the summer. So, and I explained how important you were on our state level.
So we had a mixture of personal change in people's lives and also change on the national level. And in the local level, and in the national level, marriage equality. And on the local level, what happened this summer with the cutting off of water to many residents of a local trailer park.
I think on another level, too, the debate around the Confederate flag and the taking down of the flag is one of those events, too, that really stood out to me. To me, it's in the midst of this change, all these changes, is it personal, is it local, national, international? It is in the midst of these changes that James wants to remind us this morning, first of all, of who we are, and then secondly, how we as a people of faith need to enter this change, and saying that we do not need to be heroic as we participate in this change in everyday life. James says that our faith is not something separate from our lives and something that we leave for Sunday mornings, but that it is indeed a part of us that finds its expression in the way we live our lives every day. So with this passage, then, James actually does a beautiful thing. It's just of sanctifying Sunday morning worship, saying that a traditional idea that this is where we meet God. James actually hallows the everyday routine and responsibilities that we so often take for granted, saying those times are two times that we meet God and encounter the divine. James wrote to a community of believers called the people of the way, as those first groups of Christians refer to themselves, to instruct them on how to live out their faith in the midst of everyday life. Therefore, this passage starts ambiguously that all that is good comes from God, the source of all lights, acknowledging God's creative work and consistent faithfulness in life, reminding us of our identity, and the scripture calls us the first fruits. Talking about first fruits, we had a tradition in our house that we had our own vegetable garden, that my dad will also always pick the first fruits and present it to my mother. And I think in many cultures, the first fruits is very, very important. And many of us will do the same still today. We'll give it to the first fruits, the first tomatoes. We'll give it to a person that's special in our lives. And here God comes and calls us, you and me, the first fruits of creation, saying that each one of us is unique and a sacred child of God, and that as such we are invited to express that reality in the midst of our everyday life. The verses that follows then that we've shared then offers concrete instructions on what it means then to be first fruits, the beloved of God, as it calls us to mindfulness as we become more and more aware of the implanted word that has the power to save our souls, says the scripture. But be careful. Here, it's so easy to think that our jobs as Christians is to get people up in heaven when we talk about saving souls. Remember, the book of James wasn't written to people who didn't believe. It was written to a group of believers, calling people my brothers and my sisters. So the job is not to save people for life after death. Our job is to be concerned about people this side of the grave. Be concerned for people this side in life, now, in this reality. Rather, James wants us to embrace a world and the ongoing and continuous work, and I love this, of restoring God's good creation, especially engaging, so says James, in the plight of those with whom God is particularly concerned with, the orphans and the widows, says our scripture, referring to the marginalized people in every society, the oppressed and those who has long been silenced. Therefore, the command in the next verses to be doers of the word, with James not so much contrasting hearers and doers, but rather distinguishing between two kinds of hearers, those who act upon what they have heard and those who don't. Here, James is very specific in his advice, and I think this is good advice for us for the start of a new school year, saying to avoid certain behaviors, avoid being slow to listen, avoid being quick to anger, avoid engaging in unpleasantness. Just think the transformation we will experience if this is true in our dorm rooms, at our churches, in our schools. Instead, he says, embrace behavior like be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and eager to care for those who are most vulnerable. The reality is that all these things are within our reach. But notice, none of these activities are restricted to Sunday mornings when we come to church. What parent doesn't want to be slower to anger with his or her children? What friend doesn't want to be a good listener? Who of us does not want to be more patient with their co-workers, especially if you're married to your co-worker? Aren't all of us in a position, each one of us in a position to help and support those in need? And very important, aren't each one of us in a position to vote for candidates who would support caring for the most vulnerable? And here I'm not talking party politics, because here we're neither Republicans or Democrats or independents, but we are moved by biblical values which tells us to vote for candidates who support caring for the most vulnerable, whoever they might be. James invites us to listen better and encourages us not just to think our faith, but to do it. And as countless research studies have showed, there is never been a generation more eager to take on this challenge, not only to think about a faith, but to act on it, than you. You, the emerging generation. For you, faith is not a head trip to the faith as a way of life, but for you, faith is a way of life. It's not just a head trip, but it is a way of life. Therefore, as a community of faith that is grounded in peacemaking, Westminster invites you to make this community of faith your church home, away from home. Or, if you've been worshiping like so many of you before, to recommit yourself to this community of faith this morning. As we realize that we are a people whose wisdom is limited. Our wisdom is limited. And we need each one of you gathered here today as we listen to one another to engage life as people of God. You know, studies have shown that this hour on a Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in the United States of America. Not only are we segregated by race, not only are we segregated by ethnicity, there's only one race, by the way, and I keep making that mistake. Not only are we divided by ethnicity, but we are divided by progressives and conservatives, by evangelicals and liberals. Therefore, I want us to take a minute. I want us to look around you and to just become more aware of who's here and who's not here, whose voices are represented here today and whose is not. The gospel reality is, if we as a church wants to meet the future, we need to become more aware of those voices that is actually different from ours. We need to become more inclusive in our listening. Because the gospel reality is that as a community of faith, we are incomplete without listening to all the voices. Jesus said it himself. He said, if that one sheep is lost, if that one person is lost, without that one, the 99 cannot be whole. We need you. We need every one of you. As our deepest desire as a church is not for you to become like us, to look like us, to think like us, and to believe like us. But our desire is to truly live up to our motto that Westminster is indeed a place where you can be yourself, where you can be and will be accepted, and where you can make a difference. Saying that we are not only glad that you are here with us today, but we are inviting you to express yourself and who you are as a unique, beloved child of God. And we want you to express yourself here at Westminster. We want you to come to us and say, this is what God is laying upon my heart. This is what I want to do. This is what I feel called to do. And we, as a community, will ask ourselves, how can we help you to become the child God wants you to be? How can we help you to make a reality that dream that God has for you? Please join us. And please help us, not so much to build a church. This is not what it's about. It's not about church. It's not about Westminster. It's about a movement here on the college of the campus, of the campus of the College of Worcester. It's about a movement saying that we do not have to allow artificial barriers to break down the whole people God created us to be. No ethnicity, no politics, no theology. Is that important to break down community, the beloved community that God created us to be? Amen.
Thank you for sharing time with Westminster. You can learn more about our community of faith on our website at wpcworcester.org.